Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two. I don't even know where hour number one went. Hour number two on a Friday afternoon. We're glad you're with us. We will get you all the way to go home time on a Friday. But right now, what I want to do is take that conversation we were just having a moment ago, and a bunch of y'all have been texting in. I got to catch up on your text here in a few minutes. But I have somebody in studio with me who has been a friend and a blessing to my wife and I for a number of years, Representative Mark Gidley, who serves House District 29 in the Etowah County region. But Mark has been a pastor for over 40 years, and he's been at, 24 years at Faith Worship Center over in Glencoe. Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, we even run into each other at truck stops. So I mean,
that's exactly right. I forgot about that. Yes, we do.
Is this mic coming through okay? It doesn't sound like it's coming through good for me. I got you adjust what you got to adjust there, JP. You got a sound check on him? Do a test real quick in the mic.
All right, testing 1, 2.
I don't think it was working in the break.
Yeah, it was working during the break. So we will adjust this on the run, and try it again.
All right, testing.
Something's happened. Did you turn off your mic? Check his plug in to make sure he's all good. In the meantime, what I will tell you this is that Mark Gidley, Representative Gidley, just got back from a trip to Israel. You got him good? Go ahead and take it now.
How about that?
That's good. Now we got yous. All right, I'm turning the camera around right here too. So now,
all right, good deal.
Am I good now? All right, you're hearing a live show, obviously. all right, Mark, so yeah, you and I run into each other at truck stops and everywhere else, but
We absolutely did. Down towards South Alabama, wasn't it?
It was.
Yes.
It was. But I also told the audience earlier that I can remember running for office, and I get a call from you, and in your perfect baritone voice, you said, "There's some men at the church want to pray for you. Come on by." And I said,
exactly,
"Well,
right.
I'll be there."
And you came, and we prayed, didn't we?
Yeah, bro. Holy Spirit came down.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Listen, brother, I want to ask you, so you serve in the State House of Representatives.
Yes.
Thank you for your service to our state.
Thank you.
I know what it means to have that full-time, part-time job in the state legislature. Mm-hmm. You just got back from a trip to Israel.
That's correct.
So, first of all, who all went on this trip, and like, what was the purpose? What precipitated this happening?
Well, thank you, Phil. First of all, it's great to be on with you again today. A great opportunity always to come and sit in with you on such a wonderful, wonderful program you have in telling the truth to the American people. Mm-hmm. This was called a 50-state, one Israel trip. This was put together by the Foreign Ministry of the State of Israel. So they reached out to 5 legislators in each state. So I was one of 5 that went from Alabama. There were 5 from each state across the nation, which meant there was 250 legislators that actually traveled together to the State of Israel.
That's big doings.
It was a big doing. We all were on one plane together. It's chartered flight. All of us on one plane together. A matter of fact, as we were at the Knesset, which was one of the great opportunities we had, was to go and visit the Knesset, which, if people know what the Knesset is, that's their legislative body.
Yeah, their parliament, basically.
Exactly. And we were able to visit that, look at their house, what we would call our house floor, or their chambers, hear from them, some of their people there, get a little idea of how their government operates, but also receive a personal message from Benjamin Netanyahu. He came in and addressed us personally there while we were there, all 250 of us, and made the statement it was the largest single group of legislators that's ever made a trip to Israel. And that's not the only legislators ever come, but the largest single group that has come.
Wow.
So it was a powerful statement. But one of the reasons, Phil, that we were there was to do exactly what we needed to do, and that was to see Israel from the inside, okay? To see how they work, how they operate. We visited so many sites in 4 days. We were on the ground 4 days, but it was 4 fast and furious days. And went to the Gaza Strip, went to a number of things, but got an inside look at how they operate, how they work, what they're doing, how they're touching the world from that little bitty piece of land over in the Middle East, and what an impact they are making. But another thing, too, that's so powerful is we saw how strong the connection is between America and Israel.
Yeah.
We are together. We have the same mindset, the same ideas, in many ways the same values concerning government, the way government operates, the way they allow people to live in freedom. Now, they get a bad rap They get all this propaganda about what they're doing and everything. Really, they're the only nation there that lets people come in, be who they are, and live in total freedom.
There's a lot of Arabs that live in Israel.
There are a lot of Arabs.
It's not just the Jewish people
that live there. That is exactly right. 80% of the population there is Jewish. 700,000 Americans live there. The balance of that are Arabs that live in that country. And not only do they live there, Phil, they actually serve in the government there.
Yeah.
They can serve in the government freely. And that's the only place that is allowed to happen in the Middle East, yet Israel gets the rap that they're the aggressors and that they are oppressors and that kind of thing. And it's just exactly the opposite.
I got to say, too, I think you already know this, but when Israel first formed as a nation, the very first nation to recognize Israel was America. The very first state within America that recognized them was the state of Alabama.
That's exactly right. Yeah. 1943, joint resolution from the Alabama House and Senate recognizing Israel's right to become a nation. And, you know, we shared that when we were there, and there were a lot of people on our trip. Even some of our Alabama delegation didn't realize that that had actually happened. Yeah. First state, and I don't know if any others that reached out, based on Go to My Ears request to Franklin D. Roosevelt, 1943. And if anybody wants to look at that original resolution, you can go to the Alabama Israel Task Force website, AITF website. You can see that actual original resolution. It was handwritten, 1943.
How about that?
Alabama standing up for Israel, first state to do it, and we still stand with them.
So who all went on the trip from Alabama?
Well, we had Representative Susan DeBose and Terry Collins.
Yeah.
Also, Representative Laura Hall and Neil Rafferty.
Okay, so it was a bipartisan trip.
Exactly was. Exactly was. All across the board. Many that were there. And we didn't talk a lot about politics when we were there. I didn't know who was what, and except occasional conversation that would come up, you know, about different things. So it was totally bipartisan. But we had one goal in mind and one purpose in mind, and that was to visit Israel, to show our support from America to Israel, and then learn more about who they are, what they do, what the impact is that they make on the world. And it was a tremendous opportunity to do so.
So from start to finish, how long was the trip?
We were gone a total of 6 days.
Okay.
Two of those were traveling days.
Right.
We were on the ground 4 days. But, I mean, we got up early and we stayed up late.
Yeah, I bet. There's a lot to cram in at that point.
There was a lot to cram
in. And my son, and I've never been to Israel. It's like a bucket list item for me.
Oh, yeah.
My son had a chance to be there a while back. He said the Jezreel Valley is the most beautiful place he's ever seen.
Phil, it is awesome. Now, this is my fourth time to be in Israel. I've been 3 times on trips prior to this one. So I've been to the Jezreel Valley. I've been to the Sea of Galilee and to Capernaum and to Masada and the Dead, all of those things. It is absolutely gorgeous. And see, and here's the magnificent thing about Israel. You know, when Israel was handed that piece of land 70-something years ago, it was just desolate. It was just barren. But now when you cross over the border into Israel, you see this flush, plush, green, growing, prosperous, agricultural land there that is just booming.
Are you saying it's flowing with milk and honey?
It is flowing with milk and honey. It is flowing with milk and honey.
I had to give you a pastor moment there.
That's exactly right, brother. Don't get me started now. We'll run out of time. But it is a beautiful, and what they are doing and you know, that is smaller than the state of New Jersey, this whole country is. But yet they are touching the world with their technology. They're touching the world with their agricultural breakthroughs that they've done. It is amazing what's happening in this little piece of
land. So let me ask you, we only got a couple of minutes before we go to the next break, all right? So so you're on a bipartisan trip with legislators from all 50 states,
all 50
I guess. I think it's fair to say you went in and you had a pro-Israel mental posture already yourself personally.
Right.
Did you meet anybody on this trip who went in dubious of Israel, who after spending some time there felt better about what they saw?
Well, absolutely. A lot of people felt better about what they saw. I don't think we had anybody on the trip that was not somewhat in favor of Israel or had done some things with Israel or supported them.
Yeah.
But you know, I would say that 2/3 of the people on the trip had never been to Israel before.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when Netanyahu was addressing us, he asked, let me see a show of hands of the people that's never been here. And almost the whole room, at least 2/3 or maybe 3/4 of the room raised their hand that they'd never been to Israel before. So while the people on the trip, I think, were pretty much supporters of Israel, yet they had doubts maybe about certain things that were answered on this trip. So they came away with a much deeper perspective of who Israel is than they had before they went.
That's awesome. Listen, so first of all, I will say that I have a touch of jealousy that I didn't get to go on this trip. I mean, this is one of those things that I've always wanted to do, never had a chance to yet. I plan to make it happen at some point. When we get back from this break, I want to start getting your perspective on what it was like to be there technically while they were a nation at war.
Yeah.
And get your thoughts, your perspectives on everything you saw, but also what you've kind of felt and what the mood of the people is like. All
Absolutely.
Right? All right, we're taking a break right now. We're with State Representative Mark Gidley, represents House District 29 in the Alabama House of Representatives. Just got back an amazing trip from Israel. Here we are looking at a peace plan that the president is leaving to sign right now, just days after Mark and his group got back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so we're back right now in studio with State Representative Mark Gidley. We got him on his own mic this time. We found the on-off switch that we had totally missed earlier. But we got State Representative Mark Gidley, who just returned from a major trip to Israel. So, Mark, let me ask you this. You're there. Technically, this is still a nation at war. Mm-hmm. While you're there.
Correct.
Now, and I don't want to say that Mark Gidley showed up and suddenly peace broke out, but that appears to be what happened. But
well, I'm telling you, it's amazing. And Phil, it's just mind-boggling that we were just there 2 weeks ago, and now this peace plan has been put into place. And I know we were talking earlier about what was one of the main things that came through as we were there. And I shared with you earlier that one of the biggest things you see on the face of the people, in the hearts of the people, and out of the mouths of the people, we want our hostages back, and we want to live in peace. And that's a driving motive for the people of Israel.
And we're going to get into in a minute, you're going to tell us about how you toured some of the places that were attacked on October 7th 2 years ago. But while you were there, were there evidences of the war that you saw, like heightened security, or were there any bombings? Was there anything else that happened while you were there?
Well, let me reiterate, I never felt unsafe at all. This is what people think sometimes, I never felt unsafe. But for example, while we're in Gaza, we'll talk about that in a moment, while we're there, we hear these booms going off. And of course, that's Israel sending bombs over to Gaza. But then while we were actually in Tel Aviv, there were two bomb threats while we were there. The people had to shelter in place for 15, 20 minutes, and then, of course, it passed and they moved on. So this is kind of the way Israel lives, okay? This is what they live. Now, they have tremendous technology. They have the Iron Dome that captures almost anything that comes into the nation of Israel. So they're very blessed with that. Their technology is off the charts. But they do live under that threat. One of the things that was told to us is they said, look, we just want to get a good night's rest. Because many times these people will, a lot of the bombs now are coming from Yemen, the Houthis from in Yemen that are sending them over.
Yeah.
They don't ever reach their destination from there, but they're aggravating. They'll say, you know, we'll have to get our kids up at 2 o'clock in the morning, go to our safe room, stay there for 30 minutes, and then go back and put them back to bed.
Which, think about what that means, that people build houses with safe rooms.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't understand that in America, but every home is required to have their safe room. And that's because of the threat that they live under on a daily basis. So it was tremendous, Phil, to be there. Now, I've been to Israel 3 times before, but never with this kind of a perspective.
Yeah.
To really get a feel of what they deal with, what they go through, and how they want to be at peace with their neighbors, and they want to live in peace and go about their lives and do the things that they want to do with their family.
You and I and most of America remembers like where we were when we heard about 9/11.
Sure.
And it's hard to find someone who was not in some way, at least in a second or third order sense, touched by 9/11. I remember going to training with folks who, military training, who had lost friends in the towers.
Right.
You know, and just different things like that. And of course, I went to war right afterwards, so there was that for me. But I would imagine, knowing how small Israel is as a nation, that you had to encounter people who had a firsthand experience or a loss because of what happened on October 7th.
Absolutely. Let me tell you quickly, Phil, about our trip down to the Gaza Strip.
Okay.
We visited one of the kibbutz, which is a small community along the Gaza Strip. These are communities that will have just kind of like a housing project that we would have here, have their little street. And it's all kind of deserty as you get down there, but they have their street and their sidewalks and whatever, and houses close together. And then there'll be another one like that. And we visited one of those kibbutz that was actually attacked on October 7th. We saw the houses that were bombed, that were shot. We actually went inside of one where people had, the house had been burned, the safe room where it was shot up, so they shot through the metal door. A 15-year-old boy and a mother was killed in the safe room. The father lost a leg as a result of the attack of that day. And we had some young people that traveled with us. They got on the bus with us because we traveled in buses, about 25 to a bus, and went into groups each place we visited. We had some young people got on the bus with us and traveled with us, walked with us through that, and talked about family members they had lost. One lost an aunt, and the little 15-year-old boy that was killed in that that house we were in was a friend of several of these young people. A young lady wrote a song about him and sang it for us while we were there.
Wow.
And they shared those things. One of the young boys whose aunt was killed was a woman who lived there on the Gaza Strip and would go into Gaza and help people that were sick, bring them to health care, serve them, do things for them, yet they killed her on October the 7th.
Yeah.
So we did hear from several, the little boy that was killed in that particular house we were in, he loved to surf. They shot his arm off, and he bled to death before they could get to him. But he loved to surf, and he requested, when he realized he was dying, he told his dad, said, "Bury me with my surfboard," and they did. They buried him with his surfboard.
Wow.
And these are the kind of stories we heard over and over and over again from people that, yes, had family members who were actually part of the ones that were killed, lost their lives, and were there on that devastating day.
Well, we got, how long we got, JP? About a minute? Yeah. So when we get back from this next break, I want to hear the kind of things that Netanyahu had to say to you.
Okay.
And I'd like to hear, I know you toured some places outside of just that one particular
Absolutely.
Kibbutz.
Yes, we did.
You saw some, and you also went to the place where the Nova Music Festival was.
Exactly.
Very sobering.
Yes.
And then give me your perspective. You, as an American, as a pastor who's visited before, and as a state legislator, how you feel about this peace agreement that we're looking at getting into.
Sure will.
All right, we're in studio right now with State Representative Mark Gidley, House District 29 in the Alabama House of Representatives. He, among others in our state, joined with five reps from each of the 50 states and took an amazing trip to Israel. And I'm just sitting here thinking, wow, I spent 8 years in the state Senate and never had a trip like this. And I'm like, why? Why did I not have a trip like this? Anyway, the bottom line is this. That kind of thing needs to happen. But it also does more than just build goodwill and camaraderie and ambassadorship and statesmanship. It also builds relations between countries that are absolutely necessary. Because don't think for a second that Alabama can't be, you know, in a position to have a Israeli-owned plant right here, or have things that we manufacture be sold in Israel. It's a two-way street. We're going to come back and talk more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Man, I mean, like covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one. This show goes like from Huntsville back on over to Chattanooga, and I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back on over to Gadsden. I mean all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the line from there to what we call, once again, Fort Benning. Benning! And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi all thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all out there in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and live streaming the show. Live streaming the show every single day, looking in on audio and video on places like X and YouTube and Rumble and Facebook and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you tons of y'all that podcast the show and catch it after the fact. I say all that every time for the sole purpose of not just like talking about where we are, but talking about where you are. We can see it. We see the numbers. We know what's going on. And wherever you catch this show, just know this. The only reason we get on this microphone is because of y'all. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you very much for being a part of our lives. And thank you again. I will say this, speaking of people who share their lives with us, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Michael from Madison just texted in and said, "I wish I was having a Fryer, but I've been pushing myself all day working with a fever. I know it's going to ruin my whole weekend off while I'm trying to recover. Y'all have a great weekend for me, my fellow ruffians." All right, Right Side Ruffians, pray for Michael from Madison. Michael, in the name of Jesus, you have a good weekend, my brother. Anyway, text it in, call it in. We'll be with Mark Gidley, though, right now for a few more minutes. So State Representative Mark Gidley, House District 29. Brother, how long have you been in office now? Is it you're in
this
your
This is my first term, so I've been, 3 years now, yep. Fixing ahead of the fourth session.
All right. Wow. Yep. You know, the lovely Charlene used to say that politics years should be measured like dog years, which meant that I spent 35 years in office.
There's a lot of truth to that, brother. There really is.
Okay. Hey, listen, you guys had this way cool trip to Israel with a bunch of other legislators.
That's right.
I'm sure you made friends from other states.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Good time there. But you had a chance, you were telling me a little bit briefly about President Bibi Netanyahu speaking to y'all, which he's to me on the world stage, he's one of my heroes. Mm-hmm. He's got an amazing background himself aside from state politics. He's also or national politics. He was a member of Israeli Special Operations back in the day. But what kind of things did he say to you in his address when he spoke to the group?
Well, thank you. And, it, of course, it'd be hard for me to recap everything. I couldn't remember everything. But let me point out a few things. First of all, I mentioned earlier, he talked about this was the largest delegation of legislators that had ever come to Israel.
Yeah.
And it was extremely important. And it was an extremely important time. I understand the reason we were there was strategic, again, so we could see the inside workings of Israel. But he talked a lot about the importance of the America-Israel connection. And how connected we are with the nation of Israel, and how important it is that we work together and that that we support each other. You know, those are some of the main points. He really talked a lot about how he and President Trump work together, how important that relationship has been. And you mentioned about Ben Netanyahu and about his position on the national stage. I think it's a very important thing and a very strategic thing that he happens to be the prime minister at this point in time, because I think he brings the same kind of strength to that country as Trump has brought to our country to really guide them again. He stressed the importance of us being there at this very strategic time, how important it was for us to see what they deal with, what goes on there, what they struggle with, and the importance of us taking this message back to America and sharing from an inside point of view a little more about what Israel deals with. So he spoke to us about 30 minutes, you know, just really, again, reiterating the connection between Alabama, with America and Israel, how important it is that we strengthen that connection. Of course, once again, his resolve to make sure he brought an end to the war and also got the hostages returned.
Yeah.
That's a driving thing in his mind. And you could tell that was at the forefront of everything he did, was making sure they continued to work to bring the hostages home, to bring an end to this war, and to create a place to where Israel could really live in safety and peace. So that was some of the driving things. His message lasted probably about 30 minutes. There that he addressed us, but just once again reiterating our strong connection between America and Israel, how important it is that we maintain that connection, and of course really giving great kudos or whatever to the fact that we were there and working together with America. So that's a few things, just a little brief of kind of what he shared with us.
Well, I think that's amazing. Let me ask you this. I know you toured some industry. You had a chance, and you and I were talking offline. Both of us have a recollection that there is a Israeli-owned plant, like in our listening area in Decatur.
There is.
They are very high tech. You said some things about that earlier, people don't often realize to the extent to which states like Alabama rely upon international business. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the aerospace industry in Mobile or whatever else selling things on the, you know, the market in Europe, mm-hmm. or even military production, because there's a lot of military arms trade that goes on from a nation-to-nation level. But then you've got true innovative technology that originates in other countries that we benefit from.
Exactly.
But what else did you see?
Well, on that same note, we toured what was called the Israel Aerospace Industries. We met with the, I guess you would call the CEO of that corporation. He talked with us about 30 to 45 minutes, explaining a little bit of what they do. To give you a brief, of course, we saw the progression of the Iron Dome, how that had progressed since they first created that in 1990, how effective that the Iron Dome is in taking down incoming missiles. It's absolutely amazing. You know, they sell about 80% of their technology. They do sell to other countries. Now, they don't sell to rogue countries that would harm them or harm us, but they do sell to other countries a lot of their technology that they have. The Iron Dome, I've already mentioned. Their satellites that they put up in the air is amazing.
Yeah.
They literally build planes. They take some of our 727s and 37s and 57s, convert them into cargo planes. It's absolutely amazing. Medical breakthroughs that they have there. If you use a travel drive on your computer, that came from Israel. And so it's absolutely amazing. Another thing that's extremely important to Israel and America is their ability to gain knowledge and of different things. I'm trying to think of the word. But their ability to hear on the ground things that are going on, their ears to listen to things that are happening and translate that to us. That's amazingly important.
So for intelligence purposes?
Intelligence, yes, exactly, yeah. Right. Their intelligence that they can hear,
yeah.
and they can pick up on, that they can share with us. That is a tremendous partnership between us and Israel.
Yeah, their signals intelligence and human intelligence capabilities over there are bar none.
They are amazing. And this is another reason why that having that strong connection between them and us is so absolutely important, not just for their protection, but for ours as well, because they pick up on intelligence that we might not hear, and their eyes and ears on the ground in that part of the world that benefits America.
So let me ask you, we got about 6 or 7 minutes left here. I want to touch on a couple of things. One was, aside from that kibbutz you went to where you saw firsthand some of the places where the attacks of October 7th took place, you also went to the site of the Nova Music Festival, which was one of the worst in terms of death and captives.
Yes.
And what did you see? What were your thoughts?
We went to that field. It's just an open field with a little stage sitting in the middle of it. It's just not even a grassy field, just a big dirt open area there where that music festival was taking place. And across that area, Phil, there are hundreds and hundreds of posts with pictures and descriptions of the people that were killed and taken captive. And it is absolutely moving to just walk there. I've got pictures there, took some video there of those hundreds and hundreds of pictures there. And you see, that was something that what I understand is Hamas did not know was going on. That was something that they happened up on, okay, when they attacked. So it gave that happening up on that gave them the ability to take many more lives, because there were these hundreds and hundreds of young people primarily. There were some older ones, because you see some pictures of some older people that were there. But they were able to just attack that, just grossly slaughter them and rape them and all the kind of things they did, and then take many captives from that music festival. So you see that reflected in all the pictures and then flowers that are around there. And something else we did that was very special while we were there, and every state had an opportunity to do this, and I've got pictures I've posted on my Facebook, but we got to plant a tree with the Alabama flag in honor of those that were killed on October the 7th. And that was a very, very, very important part of what we did, and a very touching moment of what we were able to do.
Wow.
So,
that's very neat.
Yeah.
Well, listen, in the time we got left, let me ask you. So you've now been there. You've also been there three other times.
Correct.
As an individual, maybe as a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Israel has been a nation at war. In fact, Israel has been a nation that has lived on edge for its entire existence. Mm-hmm. Predating modern era, but obviously in its entire modern existence. That being said, how do you feel about this peace plan that we're hearing about? What are your thoughts on it? What are your impressions? Are you pragmatic? Are you hopeful? Where do you see it going?
Extremely hopeful. But let me just say this. This is a perfect example of what we mean when we say peace through strength.
Yeah.
This happened, Phil, I believe, because of weak leadership. This peace process has come because of strong leadership.
Yeah.
And this is it. And America needs to take notice of that. We need strong leaders. We cannot have weak leaders in places of leadership in our country. Strength is what people respect. And I believe people respect the voice of Donald Trump. I believe they respect that when he says something, he's going to do it. And that's extremely important. And I think him working with Netanyahu, and here's the other thing too, is the Trump administration has really allowed the Israelis to do what they need to do. They've worked together in partnership. We saw that in the Iranian attacks on the nuclear sites in Iran. We allowed Israel to do what they could do. We came in and finished the job. So I'm very hopeful with this. And I do believe this is going to take place. We won't know for sure, because we're dealing with terrorists, and we can't trust terrorists, okay?
They just stop being bad overnight.
Exactly. So we're not going to be able to breathe a sigh of relief until we actually see it happen. But I'm extremely hopeful because I believe Hamas understands if they don't keep this peace process, their days are numbered. And I think that is a true show of what we can have when we have peace through strength and leadership.
Yeah.
And I think that strength of leadership is what's made the difference.
Well, I agree with you, man. And I on my last CNN gig earlier this week, I said as much. And mm-hmm. I said that what we're watching right now is the difference between the Biden leadership, which is you know, foreign policy by appeasement mm-hmm. versus foreign policy by strength, like
Absolutely.
You just said. I said the exact same words, basically. And I agree with you. Well, my brother, I appreciate you. State Representative Mark Gidley, House District 29. Where can folks find you on Facebook if they want to?
They can go to Mark Gidley for District 29 and find me on Facebook there, or I just have another Facebook that's just simply Mark Gidley. But my Mark Gidley for District 29 is my official Facebook page. Would love anybody to go on that. And you can email me at mark.gidley@alhouse.gov. Feel free to do that. I love talking to people. That's what I got into this to do, to try to serve and try to help in where I can. That's what I've tried to do. So reach out to me. Would love to hear from you.
And by the way, if you ever wondered, can a pastor also serve in government? You're listening to one right now. So very cool. My brother, I appreciate you as always. Blessings on you. Thank you for what you do.
Thank you.
Listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back. I'll take some text messages and get us all the way to the top of the hour. Hour number 3 coming up with some JP on sports. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.